Do you like to drink, and do you also like to donate your money to charity, but also like to golf when you can? Well, we have the event for you coming up on Monday, August 22nd. We are hosting the second annual 10K Golf Invitational Tournament. All funds will be going to, all proceeds, by the way, go to the Jason and Carly Zucker's Give 16 Foundation that helps the Masonic, University of Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital. So if you love charity and love to golf, you should sign up for that. If you go to our website at 10ktakesmn.com, you'll see a big, beautiful tab that says 10K Golf Invitational. You can sign up your team there. And by the way, deadline's coming up. Deadline to sign up your team is, I believe, next Monday, August 15th. So if you want to get a team, you better sign up fast. We only have a limited spots left. So there isn't a lot left. We have it almost, the tournament's almost full. So if you want a team, a team of four is what we're asking for. Sign up now because it's filling up quickly and the deadline is coming up. But again, the second annual 10K Golf Invitational at Victory Links in Blaine, Minnesota on Monday, August 22nd. Afterwards, we'll be going to CRS Billiards for awards and everything. It's going to be a great time. You should sign up today.
On this episode of It's a Bit, we're joined by Nate Prosser, former NHL player who played in the league for 12 years, a majority of his time with the Wild, in studio. He's a Plymouth guy too, so we just had him over at the house for a fun interview. We also give our bits of the week and end the show by drafting the best Minnesota sports athletes of all time. What some will call one of the most controversial drafts in 10,000 Takes history, maybe in sports history. But all that and more on It's a Bit.
This is the It's Bit podcast, presented by 10,000 Takes.
Burgeoning empire called 10,000 Takes.
This is the It's a Bit podcast featuring Boss Man, Wags, and journalist Jake.
Journalist Jake's a bitch, motherfucker.
Hey, you know those guys that do 10,000 Takes? They do some funny bits, right?
They're good. They're funny dudes.
Yeah.
10,000 Takes.
You're hanging with the number one podcast in the Twin Cities. It's a Bit with 10,000 Takes.
Welcome back to It's a Bit, everybody, presented by 10,000 Takes. My name is Boss Man, joined by producer Cam and journalist Jake. Once again, spots still available in the 10K Invitational. Just go to 10ktakesmn.com, click the tab at the top. I think we only have a few spots left, and you got to sign up by Monday. So if you want to play, maybe if you can't find four people, shoot us a DM. If you have any questions, shoot us a DM. We'll figure it out. But yeah, the 10K Invitational. All right. Let's get into Bit of the Week. We got a long episode planned for you guys. Like we said, Bit of the Week, Nate Prosser, a blast of an interview, as well as drafting the best Minnesota sports athletes of all time. But we'll kick it off with Bit of the Week. As always, we'll start with you, Cam. What do you got?
My Bit of the Week is the extreme adrenaline bit. I did something last weekend that most people would call me insane for, but I ran in a demolition derby on Sunday. If some people don't know what that means.
You literally ran through a demolition derby.
I drove in one.
Oh, okay.
If some people don't know what that means, is I literally stripped a car, got into it, and hit people on purpose.
Yeah, you intentionally try to get in car accidents.
Yes, and you have to be the last car standing to win.
You did adult bumper cars.
Yeah, like on steroids.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
How fast do you guys go when you do that shit?
It's hard to say. It just depends on where, because every track is different. I would say where I was at, if you have like a full track shot, you could get up to 30 miles an hour, maybe more. But it's fucking...
Does it hurt?
It doesn't feel great. My lower back hurt.
Then why do you do this? Why do you do this, Cam?
It's a blast.
I know. It sounds pretty fun. I would do that.
Like I got fourth. I didn't last as long as I wanted to. Had something stupid happen that was nobody's fault. But the like... satisfaction and the smile that you have on your face when you just are whipping shitties in a dirt pit and you just hit someone as hard as you can, you can't compare.
So the tracks that you're doing this, what are the tracks, just like big circles of dirt?
Well, yeah, it's usually like a square or rectangle, but yeah, it's like dirt or mud. I ran in Superior, Wisconsin, so they have like a clay, because up there it's all clay. They have like a clay dirt racetrack, so they like cut out a section of it and we do it right there. But yeah, it was...
How many people are in this thing at once?
It depends.
How many people were in it this weekend?
This one was really small, so there was only six. So I didn't place, but I came close. But it was sometimes though, like my first derby ever, there was like 25, and that was impossible.
See, I saw a derby at like the old Shakopee Raceway when I was a kid, and there was like, I swear, like 40 cars in there. Fucking nuts,
which is too many. So
right.
At that point, you would do what is called heats, and you would like split it up into four. You have four heats of 10 cars. You take like two or three people from each heat. They go to the feature. Then you have like what's called a consolation, and you take one or two from that, and they go to the feature.
It's basically like March Madness, but for rednecks crashing
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, it's the best.
Well, do you have any confirmed KOs?
No.
Or you've demolished a car and knocked somebody out?
No. So this is only my second time doing it. The first time, the car was a piece of shit, so I didn't last very long. But this time, I still have, the car's still good, so I definitely would have if I would have kept going. But there was, I have a picture of it, actually. There was a Ford Taurus in my race this time, and that car literally looked like a V. Like, the inside of it, like, concaved, and it looked like he was driving a four-wheeler, almost. Like, he was, like, super high up. It's hard to describe, but
stripped.
It was fucking nuts. Like, he was leaking gas everywhere. His gas tank was sideways. Because you put, like, a gas tank inside the car. Like, you buy a special fuel cell. And it was, like, totally fucking, like, horizontal, like sideways. It was insane.
Do you guys do an award presentation similar to F1, except you guys stand on a podium and shotgun Bush Light?
No, we don't do any of that. Oh. You just get your trophy and your check and
then
you
go
drink,
get drunk.
Drink a bunch of beer.
Oh, yeah,
that's okay. What I did.
How many people were in attendance for this weekend in terms of spectators?
Superior is a smaller derby because it's a county fair that like died. So they're trying to build it up, but the stands were still full. So, but sometimes like Dakota County, if you go there in Farmington, like they sell out with like 2 hours before the Derby. Like you have to go really early.
To quote, Talladega Nights, if I was at one of these events, I'd be in the first row and I'd be hammered drunk.
Yeah. There's people that like drink before they drive.
I was going to say,
oh, fucking stupid,
but it's legal.
Not
for a Derby.
Is that still a DUI?
Damn it.
Technically.
Can ask Marshawn Lynch. I think he's more aware of that law right now.
But that's how people get hurt, because then, like, if you're drinking heavily, like, your judgment, and it's easy to hurt somebody, like, because you're not supposed to hit in the driver door, like, that happens, and, like, that's how you fucking get real hurt. But, yeah.
Are there penalties to doing stuff? Like, do you get kicked out if you hit people in a certain way?
Yeah, so if you hit in the driver door, you usually get one warning, but if it's, like, super egregious, then you're, like, they...
Like, if you're going full speed and you have plenty of time to, like... Yeah. Move, you're going to get penalized.
Yeah,
they
break your stick. So each person gets like a stick inside their door. That's how you like signal if you're still in or not.
Oh.
So they break that. Or like there's a, you have to hit someone. Like if you haven't hit anyone within like 60 seconds, like they count you out. So you're
Oh, shit.
There. So that's actually what happened to me. I couldn't get my car started. Little did I know what was going on, but I did actually get it started. It must have got enough spark, but it was like after my time was over. So I was just still
obviously you can't jump out of the car and work on in the middle of the course. Just smoked.
And you can't just like sit there and like, oh, my car works. Now I'm back in.
Yeah.
You missed out
on
that much.
That's part of the competition. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a variable in determining the winner.
But yeah. It's the classiest of people there.
Yeah. Just no, kidding. Dude, it actually sounds fun to both participate and to watch.
Yeah, next year I'll be running Superior again. Usually they do it on a Sunday, but they might switch it to a Saturday, so you guys will have to come up.
We gotta like paint your car with the 10K logo on it.
Yeah.
None of us should even touch the paint because I know we're not artistic, but we should actually contract out the services of an artistic person to design the car and paint our logo on it.
I'm gonna do that. This year I might not be able to because I still have the same car, so it's basically, or next year I mean, but I did put like 10K in like letters though.
That was all right.
Both of our cars, but we should do that. That'd be
that
sick.
Sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Branding.
If I do show up, I'm gonna automatically just have a Southern accent for no reason.
Yeah, and I'm wearing the cowboy.
You know, we're in the Midwest.
I'm wearing the cowboy hat that I wore in the handlebar mustache video.
Yeah. And I have that stupid fancy looking hat that I got for the Kentucky Derby party that actually looks out of place at a place like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
looks fancy.
You showed up to the wrong outdoor event.
Yeah, but I'll be like, I do declare, I'm here to watch a derby. And I'll start getting punched.
No, but everyone there's got to be weird enough to where you might just fit right in.
Maybe so. Maybe Cole's full circle.
Yeah, there's, but not to like keep rambling about it, but like some of the shit that you see, like people like there's a guy that ran a Jeep Cherokee and like he didn't know what he was doing.
Just a Jeep Cherokee. He came out with the 2014 Jeep Cherokee
like
and
an
didn't
older
fix
one.
It up.
Like an older one, but like... I've seen it before, but it's just not smart. So, like, there's some people where you're like, you're going to get yourself.
So,
hurt.
Is it illegal to have like a truck?
There's different classes.
Okay.
So, like, I run compact. So, it's like, the wheelbase has to be like 112 or below. So, it's just smaller cars. But, like, there's big cars, little cars, minivans. The minivans are fun to watch.
A minivan.
Yeah. There's trucks. Not at this one, they don't have trucks. But yeah, there's so many classes. Like, Dakota County has limo derbies.
Yeah.
Which
sucks. Shit.
I know. I went to school at UND, for those who don't know, and we had like a racetrack out there, and I think once a month on Friday nights, they did bus races.
Yeah.
Bus races are electric.
Yeah.
As funny as it sounds, those things fucking haul ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a speedway up there in Proctor, Minnesota that was doing bus races like the night before.
Yeah, and they paint the entire bus. Yeah. They actually make him look pretty sweet. So
yeah, there's some crazy shit. Like,
I'm all about that stuff.
Elko Speedway does some shit, like trailer races. Like, each person has a trailer. They do like figure eights with buses and shit. Like,
it's, we need to get more involved in this kind of stuff. I know our guy Fat Jeff went to WeFest this week. If you haven't seen that video, you can find it on all of our socials. It's fucking hilarious. But you uncover these characters in the rural parts of Minnesota that the world would never see, because obviously they're not on the internet.
No,
and you got to bring it to light.
I used to go to Elko all the time as a kid. That's where I brought up where I cracked my head open, actually. But yeah, I used to go there all the time when I was a kid. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's events like that are definitely my paradise. But it
wait. But I thought Target Field was your paradise.
Well, that's Oh, you can do both.
Okay,
you can have more than one paradise,
I guess.
Yeah. What's your paradise?
What's my paradise?
Yeah. Fishing. You can buy those at the store.
Opium fields.
Oh. It explains a lot of your behavior.
Yeah. No,
plus the head cracking and the marker sniffing. It all is adding up.
No, we're slowly figuring out my backstory like a movie here as we do more podcasts.
Right. Yes. Right. All right. Speaking of you, Jake, what do you got for a bit this week?
You know, I don't know if we've done this before, but I just had I haven't shaved in like I realized like last night it was like the first time fully shaving off everything. On my face, in like over a month, because I went with like the handlebar bit, during 3M Open, and then I just kind of let it grow back out and kind of trim it. And I'm like, I fully shaved off my whatever you call a beard, and I'm like, holy shit, I actually haven't seen my face like this in over a month, and it scares the living hell out of me.
Seeing your own bare face is terrifying.
So it's kind of weird. Like I was kind of on a cadence where I'd shave maybe once every 2 weeks, which I kind of got used to, which is, it would still kind of, be weird even after shaving just after 2 weeks, but it was over a month. So it was scary. So like my bit is the prolonged shave bit, where you not only, it's weird to, I think, shave even if it's only been like a week, and you still shave a lot, or you still shave and you had a lot of hair and it still looks weird. But the longer you go, you prolong it like I did. Like, and I forgot about it when I woke up like this morning, and I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh God, I look like a prepubescent 11-year-old creature. Like, it's scary. The longer you don't shave as a male, no matter how much hair you get on your face, like it's terrifying.
You see, I wish I could complain about shaving.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you get to see your bare face every day.
Yeah, it sucks.
Wait, you can't really grow it anything?
Have you ever seen with a beard?
Well, I don't know. I just
you don't think I would hide this shave... fucking double chin if I could?
Well, maybe you just shave daily. Okay. There's plenty of people with way worse chins, Cameo. So.
Yeah, I've done this. I know what you mean, too. And I wish I could even grow my beard out more, but it gets really patchy. And people reference pubic hair a lot when they see my face. So that's usually my green light to shave.
It is like pubes,
but
gross.
But then you go too far, and you're like barefaced, and you're like, ugh.
I know that looks disgusting.
Look like a fucking alien.
I'm like a newborn.
I've seen videos that you look like you did in middle school when you were running around pissing people off at Target.
Shit.
That's what you look like right now.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm reverted back to my 16-year-old self. I should just be going to the mall right now and piss people off, walking to Hollister and
ask them for hugs.
Ask them for hugs and do all that shit. But no, it is weird. So the prolonged shave bit, the longer you shave, don't shave, the weirder you're going to look and maybe give yourself a heart attack as a dude, I should say. And you forget about that you have something under your, and like, I don't have like a lot, like, I can't grow an impressive beard, but it's gotten better over the last couple of years where it just grows out a little more. But like, when I shave it completely bare skin, it's just the weirdest feeling in the world. I do not like what's underneath.
Well, it makes you look more like Kirk though.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Because Kirk's not a beard guy. He said it on our podcast.
He's not a beard guy.
He said, I'm not a beard guy.
But he does grow one impressive beard.
Right.
I will give him
Speaking
that.
Speaking of Kirk, did you guys see that video we posted of him golfing? It was actually it was a video by the Vikings. You should check it out on their YouTube. I think it's Thielen, who shoots like fucking 34 on the front nine. He's an insane golfer. And Kirk versus Patrick Peterson and Harrison Smith, and it's actually one of the greatest videos I've seen in my life.
It's funny.
Kirk's actually not a bad golfer.
And just the shit Kirk says is just right on brand the entire time. Like he's like, you're going to like the way I look. I guarantee it. Like he uses the
just
men's...
Just like Men's Warehouse.
Yeah. I've never heard... every reference he made, I've never heard on the course before.
No, that's why I'm like, he'd be a very interesting person. Like our caption, he'd be very fun to play with. Very interesting. And who knows, maybe something in the future will be allowed that opportunity.
Yeah. My bit this week is the angry manager bit. Not to be confused with anger management. This is an angry manager, specifically in the sport of baseball. So I'm not like the biggest Twins fan. And I wrote a blog about this on 10ktakesmn.com, by the way, if you want to check that out. But I'm not like the biggest baseball fan. You know, I enjoy the honeymoon phase of it. In the beginning of the year, I go to a lot of games. Then as the summer goes on, it kind of dies out. And then as September picks up and we get close to the playoffs, I get back into it. But I did happen to see the video of Baldelli just freaking the fuck out the other day. And while I agree with everything that was said, that whole entire ordeal is bullshit, it's just so great to see a manager lose their cool like that, especially Rocco, because Rocco, like, you know, he's usually kind of calm and conserved and does his analytics and, you know, but then when he's pissed, he's pissed. And I love when baseball managers specifically get angry, because it seems like baseball is the only sport where it's socially acceptable to walk up in the ump's face and just start throwing a temper tantrum. Yeah. And specifically, I think the best notable example of an ump getting chewed out and having the manager throw a temper tantrum was that minor league baseball guy. I can't remember what his name is. Robert Wellen or... Shit, look it up, Cam. It was a minor league baseball game. This guy got so fucking mad that he... like started playing army. He was like taking the bases and throwing them all over the field. Then he was army crawling to the mound. He took the, what's the bag of flour that they use? What's the term for
the
that?
Rosin?
The rosin. He took the rosin, pretended like it was a grenade, pulled out the pin with his mouth and then threw it over his head. Yeah. I bet you guys have seen that clip.
Yeah. Philip Wellman.
Philip Wellman. Okay. I was close. Incredible. Like every sport, the managers or the coaches or whoever chews out refs, right? You see it in hockey, you see it in football, you see it in every single sport. But baseball is the only sport where the motherfucker can leave the bench, get right in the umps. Like, can you imagine if Dean Evason just walked onto the ice in his dress shoes and just started spitting at the ref?
Well, I was just thinking, give hockey coaches skates.
Yeah.
And then imagine like them, like the ref and the coach going back at it. They're doing like figure skating moves
or,
and try to avoid each other
or,
on
like,
the ice.
Imagine Kevin O'Connell or even Zimmer back in his day, like full sprinting onto the field to just scream at a ref.
Grabs the flag out of his waist.
Well, they get sidelined. Warnings, don't
right.
they?
Yeah.
That shit.
Oh yeah, they get
the sideline,
and that screwed over the Gophers a few years ago when PJ Fleck ran onto the field because
he was trying to help out his player who got decked.
Right, but there are rules against that. Yeah. I'm saying like baseball, and most of the time when umps get up in the manager's face like that, it seems like they get ejected more often than not. But like they are able to get up and talk to the ump like that, whereas in any other sport, you have to keep your distance. Like even NBA, those guys rarely go on the court, but baseball, they just run right up to the motherfucker.
It's usually worth it because it usually lights a spark.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially like seeing that out of Rocco was great. I'm not a big Rocco guy. I don't really like him, but I didn't really think he had that in him. He was nuts.
Dude, and then in the press conference, he's swearing. He uses the word chicken shit.
He's like, that's the most chicken shit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Or something from an umpire. I was like, damn.
Said a few swear words even at the presser. Like this, okay, maybe this guy isn't just an analytics nerd. Maybe he's got that dog in him.
Maybe he's got a little bit more.
But
the analytics said if he yelled with the something would happen.
It all just goes back to the fact that I love they can do that in baseball, and I wish they could do that in other sports.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
But all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll get to our interview with Nate Prosser.
The Minnesota Twins Cup Snake is approaching. It's coming up on Saturday, August 20th, so 2 days before our 10K Invitational. And there are still tickets available for that, so... you can go to our website at 10ktakesmn.com, go to our events tab, and you can find the FIVO link to go to the Minnesota Twins website to pay for tickets specific for that promotion. So what comes with that ticket is, of course, a seat in the section to be able to build the Cup Snake, as well as loaded concession values that you can obviously utilize to buy your first refreshment. Could be a beer, could be a pop. Just make sure it's something that they give you a cup with so you can start contributing to the Snake right away. And also $5 goes back to the Twins Community Fund, so you're also doing charitable work. But do not miss the Minnesota Twins Cup Snake event coming up on Saturday, August 20th. That's for the Saturday night game. I believe it's a 6:30 p.m. first pitch Saturday night.
6:10.
Sam, you said the 7:10, so I'm just like trying to balance, meet in the middle. But 6'10 against the Texas Rangers. It's a Saturday night. It's going to be a great time. And then rapper Sammy Adams is actually going to be in attendance at the game. He's going to be with us, so you can stop by for sure. And then even afterwards, he's going to be hosting an after-party event at Ty's Nightclub in Minneapolis. So you can definitely be a part of that if you show up to the Minnesota Twins Cup Snake. But again, make sure you do not want to miss history. This is the first time we have done one with, I guess, full support of a major league organization, because we've done one with the Saints before. But again, go to 10ktakesmn.com, go to the events tab. You'll find the link for the Minnesota Twins Cup Snake coming up on Saturday, August 20th. But get your tickets now. It's going to be a blast. You do not want to miss this.
All right, everyone, welcome back to It's a Bit. We got a special guest with us in-house. We got former NHL player Nate Prosser, spent a majority of his time here in Minnesota. You're a Minnesota-born guy, and you're a Plymouth guy. You're in the same town.
Yeah.
I think you're the closest guest to our house.
I mean, I would think so. I mean, literally, I'm right across Rockford. I mean, you could hit every club in your bag and get to my house, I think. Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty cool that we're close.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're just, we always encourage people to come in person because it's always a lot better experience, I should say. But yeah, it's great that, like I was talking to Jack, I'm like, oh yeah, where is he coming from? Plymouth. Oh shit, got a Plymouth guy coming in. Let's go.
Because we were watching, I was watching when we were prepping for this, the video of you doing the interview for Hockey Day this year.
Oh yeah.
And like the guy who interviewed you from Bally was like, yeah, we're here in Nate's house in Plymouth.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, right down the road.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because usually people are like, all right, well, it's about 40 minutes to get there, and I kind of feel bad, but this time it's like, nice,
no. Right down. Yeah, I mean, you guys are west suburbs. I mean, for the most part, a lot of guys are, you know, if you do the hockey guys, a lot of them are Edina, and, you know, I hate them for that, but,
But what? How long have you been in Plymouth then?
We moved over here. So all my years with the Wild, I was over in Lake Elmo near Stillwater. And, you know, that was kind of when I got in with the Wild back in 2010, a lot of the guys were Lake Elmo or Woodbury, all the coaches and players and stuff. And that all shifted over the last, you know, handful of years. And, we were driving from Lake Elmo to Maple Grove like 3-4 times a week because, you know, I got a family with kids and, my brother and sister and all my buddies. I grew up in Elk River and they all kind of shifted to the Maple Grove area. So, you know, we knew we were eventually going to come back to the West. So we moved over here probably like 4 or 5 years ago and, just found a little neighborhood that, kind of a ton of kids and, you know, a lot of street hockey games and stuff like that going on.
A lot of outdoor rinks here in Plymouth.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a ton. I was out at Ferndale. There's a park there that has like an outdoor rink and it's really nice for street hockey in the summers. So we were out there, with the ball and tennis ball with my kids and my, nephews and stuff. So, out there this morning. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's something we haven't gotten to do. Cause I know like the city of Plymouth has like the concrete under the rink. So you can, and then they leave the goals out there so you can play street hockey.
Yeah.
It's
exactly what this was.
Yeah.
You know, and they have like a little skate park with, you can bring your rollerblades out there or scooters or some, even my little, 3 and 5 year old are out there with their scooters and kind of, doing little jumps and
doing going X
down,
games.
Yeah. Down ramps and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Parkour.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of street hockey, we've been trying to maybe potentially organize something and do some street hockey because we're fiending for hockey because we went out a lot during the winter to play outdoor puck and pond hockey and stuff. And we're like, we should try to do a street hockey game. That'd be very interesting. I don't know how well it would go, but, we need to get someone needs to get the street hockey goalie equipment and we need to go just balls to the wall.
I mean, that's everything that I remember growing up, especially in Elk River. Like it was such a hockey kind of hotbed, hockey centered city that, is in the summers we would make big Stanley Cups out of tinfoil and everyone on my street was, out there and we'd have like 8-on-8 games where we're, having line changes and stuff and, the goalies putting out like little rugs and can go down on their knees and, I mean, it was a great setup. And then obviously in the winters, we were all rink rats and loved outdoor rinks. And so Elk River was good with, had a bunch of those.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Wisconsin, so I didn't quite grow up in a hockey presence. Unfortunately, I played a game called basketball growing up.
What is that?
I don't know. It's something where a bunch of drama queens request trades or something. That's what I've heard.
That's the NBA. Yeah, college basketball.
I wasn't very good at it, but I know you've been skating since you were 3 years old. I started when I was 24. So any tips?
I guess I would need to see you to, you know, see what I could help you with.
Okay. It's probably a lot. Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot to break down.
Yeah. Can you skate backwards, forward to backwards, crossovers,
Oh, I've not gotten to do crossovers yet. I've tried them a few times. Both times it resulted in me eating shit. But I did figure out backwards. I'm not very fast. The C cuts.
Yep. C cuts. Nice. You know. So I coached. I was never been able to coach my kids hockey, and I coached the 8U girls Wayzata team, and you know, there's a lot of help with, you know, skating with a few of those girls, and but it is a lot of fun, and I'm pretty sure I would be able to help you a little
bit. All right, those kids would skate circles around me. I go to the outdoor rinks, and you got these kids who are probably up to my waist, just doing crossovers, and they're skating in circles, and.
Working on the Michigan.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there trying to rip clap bombs from the blue line and just
cycling the puck.
Almost doing all this. Whiffing on the puck.
Well, Nate, I will say that that's more optimistic. That's a more optimistic answer for Jack than Ryan Carter when he was on the podcast.
Yeah.
He asked the same exact. Yeah, you asked the same exact thing, like, hey, do you have any tips? I just started this winter because we had him on in the winter, and he's like, quit.
Yeah, he told me to fucking quit.
Yeah.
I was like, thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. No, you never know. Like, get into a men's league eventually or something.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
I got time.
For sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I had an older brother that was 3 years older than me that, you know, I was basically forced into putting skates on my feet as soon as I could walk. So a little different circumstances than probably what you had. But,
yeah, I blame my parents on that one.
Yeah.
I have been golfing since I was five.
So oh, that's cool. I started golf in like high school. I wish I would have started that at five.
Yeah, that's like me, like opposite. Like I started skating when I was four or five, but I didn't start till I was like golfing till I was 18.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm getting like shit on out on the course by Jack, who's been, you know, golfing since he was younger, but
then you flip the roles come winter. Yeah. Come winter, I'm sitting with my bendy ankles just trying to get down the rink without falling, and you're the one skating circles around me.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
You got to pick your battles. You can't be good at everything in life.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, Nate's just right in Plymouth, so I think you should come out and give us a clinic.
Yeah, yep. I'll be up for that. But you know what? Another cool sport that I've gotten into recently, have you guys ever played pickleball?
Yes, I did a pickleball class in college.
Oh.
Yeah, I did that in high school.
I mean, it's really taken off right now, and it really doesn't matter your age or your stature, your athletic ability. It's not a ton of running. If you can get a doubles match in pickleball, like let's do it.
So are you the master of doinking? Is that the word? Is doink the term when you're able to put a perfect amount of English on the ball to where
it just dies.
Goes over the net?
It's like an ace.
Just over the ice. Yeah. I don't know if it's called doinking, but that sounds
probably not the word.
Let's just use that word.
Boinking. Did you say boink?
Boink or doink?
Doink. I said doink.
Doinking.
I think it's a phrase. Yeah. I think it might not be an official term.
There's something.
That'd be
kind of
funny.
But. Yeah.
No, pickleball's fun. I will give you that.
Yeah.
Like tennis, too. Tennis is fun. It's just a lot of running.
Yeah.
I got into tennis a few years back, and it's intense. It's brutal.
Tennis is a little harder. Well, I mean, you got to be actually somewhat knowledgeable in the game and like how to serve and get it up over your head and, you know, get it in. And I mean, pickleball is like a little underhand serve. It's just getting it in, and then you run to the baseline, and it's just four guys kind of stand there and doinking it.
You go.
It sounds better. It sounds nice.
Badminton too. I forgot how fun badminton is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set up a net in anyone's yard.
Yeah. Yeah. But nothing beats golf in Minnesota summers.
Yeah. Right. Right. That's the most
you can be, it doesn't matter how good or bad you are. It just depends on how much you drink on the course and then you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
Regardless.
There's no laws with the claws.
No.
You know.
No, yeah. Allegedly not until you drink 100 of them and drive. that's where laws apply.
Then it gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
Have some claws and start doinking on the pickleball court.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I like that though.
So a question I want to ask you, I know you have started a podcast, the Pros Box, with your brother.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I got this idea of, you know, doing the podcast, I don't know, probably a year ago, and it just started. We're, I don't know, 10 episodes in, so we're new to it. We're still learning, kind of the ins and outs of it. And the idea came I wrote down a bunch of names of old guys that I played with on the Wild and in the minor leagues in Houston when I was there my first year, and just kind of every athlete, you know, in all sports struggle with the transition from, you know, their identity is in, you know, in hockey. And okay, now that it's over, what is it now? You know, what are you up to these days? Are you, you know, coaching your kids? You know, what are you doing for a profession? What, you know, what's the next chapter look like for you? And so that's where the idea kind of initially came from. And so I just wrote down, like, I don't know, probably 100 names. And we've done like Dubnyk and Carter and Cook and Stalock and Torrey Mitchell and Justin Falk and Matt Cassian, just those guys that, you know, we remember when, you know, a handful of years ago, two handfuls of years ago that were involved in all of our lives with the Wild. And now it's just, you know, trying to, you know, just small time, natural conversation, just chatting about life now. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the whole premise of it.
Any particular guests you've had on that have been like one of your more interesting ones or?
Well, another one was Casey Wellman, and, you know, he signed out of UMass as a college free agent right before I did. So we immediately kind of had that connection of like, we're new to the locker room type guys. And, so we kind of had a bond, and, pretty soon after, he went from the Wild to the Capitals for a little while, you know, kind of bounced around for a little bit and then went overseas to Russia and Switzerland and Sweden and Finland. But he gave some Russian stories that were just kind of straight from a movie scene.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's pretty crazy. You know, you hear about the KHL and, you know, all the crappiness to it,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, you never really know, you know, if it hits anyone close to you, and it hit him. So
yeah.
It's cool chatting about that kind of stuff. And then, you know, probably my best buddy throughout all my of my pro career was Torrey Mitchell, and that guy is so dang funny. And we just, you know, just sharing a ton of laughs and stories. And I had the pleasure of sitting next to him on the plane all the time, and, you know, dealing the cards with him, and just kind of reconnecting with him was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And going back to you had mentioned, you know, you played with the Houston Arrows, which baffles me a little bit that they had a minor league team all the way down in Texas.
Oh, man.
And then up in Minnesota. I mean, what was that like in terms of playing like all the way down in Houston for a team affiliated with a team that's based in Minnesota?
Favorite year of hockey.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. It was so awesome. It was basically like a frat party. I mean, with everyone that had, you know, a little bit more money, you know, a frat party, everyone's poor. So, you know, you can't really,
you know,
do a whole heck of a lot other than, you know, buy, you know, Milwaukee's worst light and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you know, actually having a little bit of money, and we all live next to each other. So, you know, we get down with practice, and, you know, you go to practice in shorts and t-shirts and flip flops. I mean, all year round. I mean, patios are open all in December and January, and just the weather alone was so great. We'd leave practice and we'd stop and, you know, get some drinks and then get our food, and we'd, you know, go back and nap or whatever. And then, you know, we'd all meet down by the pool and we'd grill and, you know, just hang by the pool. And that was like a daily occurrence. And, you know, you're not getting that anywhere else. So like just the idea of just leaving hockey and, you know, not having the stressors of, you know, thinking about the game when you leave the rink was so huge for us. We ended up making a really good run that year. We went to the finals and lost in game six to Binghamton. And I know it still crushes me to this day.
Yeah.
Like we got so dang close, and that the group was so awesome. And, it was just one of those special years. And, you know, a few years later they moved it to Des Moines, which, you know, Des Moines is a great city, but I mean, honestly, like it was nothing beat like, you know, playing in the warm weather.
Yeah.
And after doing that, I'm always like, man, it'd be so great to, you know, sign back down in like Dallas or Arizona or Tampa Bay.
Were the fans different down there? Because I imagine it's kind of a weird dynamic, because up here you're playing in front of Midwestern folks, and then down there you're playing, you know, Texas. So
I mean,
different types of
football people.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, we drove by like those football stadiums on, you know, Friday Night Lights and stuff in Katy, Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, they had stadiums that were
for high schoolers,
tens of millions of dollars. Yeah. And, you know, it was basically a college set up for these teams. And I mean, football is like a religion down there. So, you know, obviously a lot less knowledge of the game, but no, we, you know, when we were on that run, we were getting great crowds. We played at the Toyota Center where the Rockets played. And, I think that had something to do with why they had to move. But, you know, we lived in a little suburb just west of Houston, and, you know, it was just a great setup. There's a little, you know, practice rink we had out there, and, the restaurants were awesome. And mm-hmm. I mean, is a great, really fun year.
Well, and going back to how you said it'd be nice to just leave the rink and it's warm weather up here. Yeah. Up here, you leave the rink and it's just like kind of the rink again.
Yeah.
It's just cold. Oh, I know. You're just always in cold.
Back here.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, yeah, it's 0 degrees. Yeah. Well,
oh, the rink's a warmer place, I guess.
Yeah. What else can I think about other than just, you know, getting back on the ice?
You look outside and you just see more ice.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Exactly.
Drive by, like you talk about Texas, just driving by and seeing all these football stadiums, like every corner is just an outdoor hockey rink.
Yep. Yeah.
After like, you're like, okay,
there's no escape.
Need a break.
No, there isn't. And you know, and then now, you know, being down there, I mean, at the time we only had a few guys with kids, but their kids weren't playing hockey. It was just like, you know, like you said, there's no outdoor rinks. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you're able to completely, you know, leave it at the rink, and then you show up the next day and put in the work. And you know, we had Mike Yeo down there, and he kind of, you know, built a good camaraderie of when you're at the rink, let's get down to business, let's put in our work, and then leave and go do your thing. And you know, that was such an important year for me as a rookie and kind of getting into pro mm-hmm. hockey.
Speaking of Mike Yeo, this is just out of left field. Did he have any interesting like superstitions or any interesting like? I'm trying to find a hockey coach that just did some weird things before games or any speeches or any phrases that.
Well, he was super detail oriented. Like we had the big whiteboard in the locker room, and it would be full, absolutely full of. Mm-hmm. You know, quotes you know, being unflappable and getting the puck north and having a pack of wolf mentality, just mm-hmm. like those kind of lingos, and then all of our systems and just super detailed. And I mean, every coach that I had, especially in pro hockey, was unbelievably superstitious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like to a whole new level. So if like, you never see a lineup change after a win, like on any team in hockey, right. You know, it's just like, okay, we won, like we're not going to change suits, we're not going to change ties, yep. Like we're just going to go to the rink and try to repeat it. And yeah. You know, so you know, me as a depth defenseman, I was his number seven, you know, coming in and getting my opportunity. Well, I not only needed to play well, but I needed the team to win for me to, you know, keep playing. So I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's one of those things that but me and Mike Yeo, I always had such a great relationship. Like I just loved like when I had a kind of a straight shooting, honest coach with me, mm-hmm. because I was always in a position where I'm watching the game from the press box, and mm-hmm. you know, that was my second home. That's where the podcast name came from. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, I had a ton of healthy scratches, and why BS with me? You know, like just, you know, if I come in the coach's room, like just shoot me, you know, tell me what I need to do, what I don't need to do, where I can work on things, where I stand was perfect. And, you know, Bruce Boudreau was another guy that was super good with me too. And so I was fortunate to have some good coaches that, you know, were always honest.
Yeah. The first year you came in, was that 2010?
Yep.
Yeah. Was it Yeo then, or was it Richard still?
It was Todd Richards. I signed. So yeah. I was at Colorado College my senior year. We got eliminated up at the deck in playoffs. Mm-hmm. And instead of flying back with my team, my agent was like, hey, you got some interest, drive down to the Twin Cities with me. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this means, because I was undrafted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to the East Coast Hockey League, the AHL or whatnot, or the NHL. And, you know, just so happened Minnesota was there. So I signed there, and they said I could stay up with the team the last month of the season. So it was in April. So mm-hmm. I, you know, just to get a feel of pro lifestyle, meet players, meet coaches, meet management, you know, just be a part of that. And it was Todd Richards and they couldn't guarantee that I would play any games, obviously, but I'm just like, I'm all for it. But I was able to get in the last three games of that season. I played a game in Edmonton, my first one, in Calgary a couple of nights later, and then at the XL Energy Center a few nights later. And then, funny story about Todd Richards, he was the coach the next season too. And that summer I got married, and I got married July 1st. I want to, you know, make sure I say this all right.
Yeah.
So we go on a honeymoon and we go to Cabo, and you know, on honeymoons, you're drinking pina coladas and Mai Tais and all the, you know, smoking cigars and eating chips and guac. And so I my body fat got a little high.
Yeah.
And I come back like a couple of days later, and we had development camp, and I don't know, I can't remember, you know, maybe it was like, you know, 14 or 15% or something. And he pulls me in his office and reams me on, like saying, you haven't done anything, like so mad at me. And I'm just like, oh crap. Like, so I'm just like, hey, I just got married. I, you know, went on my honeymoon. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're enjoying life.
Like, come on,
my honeymoon.
But
what
like they don't care. Like, they don't care about that. All they care about is how you perform on the ice. And, you know, and we did a ton of testing, and I thought I did all right, but he, you know, he didn't meet his standards. And so I needed to say I needed Mike Yeo to get into with the Wild before me is an understatement, because I almost like kind of put a black X next to my name because of that.
But you had to be like one of half the team that showed up fat on day one. Like, I even saw a video of Dean looking at Kirill at the beginning of this season. Yeah. He's like, you're fat.
Well, I mean, it's different, from training camp or, you know, development camps in July. So like, I mean, no one goes there in unbelievable shape. I mean, the season got over 2 months ago, and we took a month off, and now we're, you know, slowly getting back, you know, into workout and training shape. And so, like you said, like no one was like crazy fit and, you know, ready to go, but, just, I don't know, he had it out for me. And, but yeah, you know, then once you go into training camp, like you have an extra couple months to, you know, really, you know, dial it in and gear up. And so, but that was just development camp. So that's what kind of I always laughed about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that's funny. Cause if I came into development camp, you know, after the season just ended 2 months, like I would have just been on a complete bender coming into that. Yeah. I would just be like, if you expect me to be in shape for that, good luck.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I was a young guy still, and I was trying to crack it. So, I mean, there's that side of it, but I don't know. I just got married. I just was on a honeymoon, you know, like,
well, I think for non like athletes though, that time period is the fattest few months of the year as well. Like in the summertime, that's when I'm drinking beer all the time.
Yeah.
And eating at grill outs and stuff.
Having
and,
pizza.
Yeah. And you're just going to all these parties, like 4th of July, especially, you know, it's just constant drinking and eating.
Yeah.
And that's what summer is. It's the Midwest.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you expect anyone to come in being thinner.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was a weird deal. All I can do about it is laugh at it now, because I was able to, you know, carve out a career, even though you know, by the gift of Mike Yeo, I think getting that opportunity and, you know, and then, you know, he got called up the next year when things weren't going well, for the first half of the year. And then Mike Yeo brought me with him. So it all kind of worked out.
Yeah. That's awesome. But it's weird. Like was it kind of weird in your career, you came back to the Wild like three different times.
Yeah.
When you left Minnesota, you're like, oh, well, I might have be done here for my career. You came back two other times.
It's crazy. Yeah. Honestly, it was like, you could almost write a book on that. Like that doesn't happen. It was super bizarre, but, I, a couple times Chuck Fletcher just thought, okay, let's replace him and, you know, try to use our younger guys and bring them in and, you know, try out our first and second rounders type stuff. And that's understandable. That's like the nature of the beast, but
yeah, let's bring him back.
Exactly. I know. So I signed there the first time, got put on waivers right out of camp out of St. Louis and got claimed back. And then the 2 years later, which was the weird part, is I stayed with the Blues until like Thanksgiving because Jay Bouwmeester, you know, broke his foot in camp or something. So they needed me as kind of the insurance guy now. And then he got healthy, and then they put me on waivers and claimed me back at that time. just because I think the Wild were, you know, needed a little bit more security with their third set. And so, I mean, coming back and like walking back in that locker room, having my chain still in the same spot, my locker.
It's like you never left.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what it felt like. And it was like guys just embraced me with hugs and smiles. Yeah. And like they're nothing beat that day. Like, honestly, like that was one of the better days of my career.
Is it interesting for you to watch like today's rivalry against St. Louis, knowing that you have a tie to like both of those teams?
Yeah.
Do you feel a little internal confliction?
Well, you
obviously spent way more time with the Wild.
You're from here. Exactly. So. And I you know, I only played one game with the Blues, but you know, just being there, I was able to meet some really good guys, you know, like guys that aren't there anymore though. Like Pietrangelo was a really good guy, and then Jaden Schwartz, who's a Colorado College guy after me, but he was there for a little while. And but you know, all hockey locker rooms are pretty similar. Like they really embrace you, and they're you know, a bunch of kind of just humble and good guys for the most part. And that was the same deal as in St. Louis is kind of what it was in Minnesota. So, you know, all those guys I, you know, still kind of follow and cheer on, but there's not many of them left in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Like I think I counted this year, I think there's only six guys on the Wild that that were there when I was there. So kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's well, nuts. When,
like pro hockey's a revolving door.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right, yeah. I mean, it's a business, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of more than I think a lot of pro sports, I think there's a lot of transition.
For sure.
More than a lot.
Well,
especially the NHL deadline. Like, it's just nuts.
Yeah.
Like the middle of the season.
It's crazier than an NFL trade deadline, even NBA, I feel like.
And the GM's changed a couple times since I've been there, so that they want to, you know, make their stamp on the team. You know, that's how
they want to make moves.
Job security. Yeah. Like Fenton comes in and, you know, tries to make a ton of moves and, you know, tries to, you know, put his mark on the team. And then Guerin comes and, you know, does the same thing. So it's, I mean, literally it was just a revolving door for, you know, a handful of years.
Well, when you did play with, I think you said you only played one game with the Blues, but did you ever play, I mean, with the Flyers, did you ever play against the Wild? Do you ever, if you did, I mean, I would expect that'd be kind of funny.
It would have been funny. Well, my first game back with Minnesota, I played against the Blues.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Like super bizarre. Like literally just changed locker rooms.
Yeah.
Basically. You know, I was able to, you know, get my cars back and, you know, settle back here. And then like a day later, the Blues were in town and they're like, you're back in the lineup. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like how crazy is this going to be? So like every face off, I'm looking across and I'm seeing like, you know, Jaden Schwartz or Tarasenko. They're, you know, give me little winks or smiles or, you know, Brodziak was down there too.
That's
like another guy. So, you know, great guys, but that is a very weird part of, you know, pro sports, and if you know, you see that everywhere, but that was a very, very bizarre game.
Well, so we had Jason Zucker in here last week, and he was telling us that before games he takes like 2 hour naps.
Yeah,
he said that's a popular thing across the league. Did you take like long naps the day of games?
On the road, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think they're a little short. I mean, I still took them at home, but you know, having kids involved and wife, and I mean it the game changes a little bit at home, you know, expected to do a little bit of dad work, and but on the road you get back to the hotel, you hurry and go eat your pregame meal. Unbelievable, by the way, like NHL is the no hunger league for a reason. Like the spread is crazy. And you rush back into your room and you just, you know, gear down and get into bed, and you have from 12:30 to, you know, 4 o'clock to kind of kick the feet up and relax. And whether you want to shut it down for 2 hours or 3 hours or 1 hour, like you have that opportunity to do that. It's definitely something I miss is the game days and, you know, the road trips and, you know, going to the, you know, steakhouses and stuff like that. Like,
what was the best place you visited outside of Minnesota that you enjoyed the most?
I really enjoy warm weather. So like whenever we went down to Dallas, like Dallas was an awesome city, really good fan base, nice arena, really good restaurants, nice hotel. I think that's probably my top spot, I would say. But, you know, whenever we went on the West Coast swing, going out to Cali and, you know, being close to the beach, you know, whenever you could kind of break up the winter. That's what I enjoy the most. You know, mm-hmm. so whenever yeah. whenever you went to Canada, you go up to Winnipeg and Edmonton and Calgary, and it's like
it's even worse.
Minnesota.
It's just like, you know, let's just hurry and get this game over with and get this road trip over with so we can, you know, get home type stuff.
Yeah, I remember I think it was this year, the Wild were in Canada for like an entire month basically because they had to pack all of their games in, like when they cross the border, they're like, all right, well, we're here to stay for a little bit to play all these games because there's different restrictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine being in Canada for a month, basically, like just only playing Canadian teams.
No. Yeah. I mean, playing in Toronto and Montreal, like that's a whole new thing just because you're a part of a different kind of, I mean, that's the kind of the Mecca, you know, of hockey,
yeah.
you know, like going to Toronto and being it's like the New York of Canada. I mean, huge fan base and following, and I mean there's 100 beat writers involved, and like mm-hmm. I mean yeah. just the following that they have is out of this world. And you know, I think the Montreal, like I was talking to, you know, Tory Mitchell about this, he played in Montreal, like nothing beats, you know, going out there for warm-ups and they have like this, I can't remember which Coldplay song it was playing, but it's just like it gives you the chills. And then their goal song was like unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I mean, just the whole game day ops of like in Montreal, like nothing beat that.
Yeah, that was like when we went to a game in Vegas this year.
That's close.
Yeah, and I was like, God. I mean, so the Wild did it really well for the playoffs, especially like they put on a great show for playoffs. But I'm like, God, I wish we had this every game.
Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to play in 25 NHL playoff games, and those were honestly my favorite games. And playing at the XL Energy Center for, you know, 10 of those or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of this world. Like this, the atmosphere is at a whole new level and nothing beats that. Like right. that's honestly like that moment of like feeling that competitive nature and the drive and the intensity in the building, like nothing. Like,
you get the hankies
yeah.
going.
Yeah.
It's just like a whiteout in the crowd and it's so loud you can't even hear yourself think.
Yeah. You have the smell. I mean, popcorn and mini donuts going, and you know, got the beats going for warm ups. Like nothing beat that time.
Yeah.
Well, you were part of, I think, a couple of the teams that made it past the first round.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, how was the intensity? Could you feel the intensity change when you played a game in the second round versus the first round?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've, you know, I play with guys that, you know, made it all the way. And they say
it's unreal.
As the games went on, like just the reporters started filling the room more, and you know, everything kind of ramped up, even with the coaches and our video sessions and our meetings, like everything just kind of magnified as the games went on, as you know, game 5, 6, 7 came on, then you went to a new series, and then, okay, now it's time to refocus for a different team. But I mean, the intensity only kept growing, and I honestly couldn't even imagine playing in the Stanley Cup finals. Like I love watching it, and I love like seeing the Avs and do their thing, and you know, Tampa make a run again, and you get chills thinking like hoisting that cup. You
know? I can't even imagine like just the road to get to the cup. I know before the show we were talking about
how, it's got to be the hardest.
Yeah, how playoffs are, NHL playoffs are on a different level, but like the. How many things you need to go right at 100%. The right time to just get there, let 100%. Alone win it. Like even Colorado this year, they were a wagon. They were an unstoppable team, but they still had to battle for it.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much parity in the NHL right now. I mean, that came with the salary cap, and all the teams got to stay within it, obviously. And I mean, if you have a C game, and you know, when I was playing with the Flyers, if we played bad against in Buffalo and they had an A game, they're going to beat us. Like that's the parody of it. Like NBA, if the Nets are playing the Charlotte Hornets or something, it doesn't matter what game they bring, they're going to beat them type deal.
Exactly. Like, cause they got the paychecks.
Yeah.
They got the money.
Yeah. There's no parody. So like NHL, it's like you see so many times teams that are, you know, just start building at the right time and they barely get into playoffs, and they're the ones that make the run. You know, it's all about getting in, and then kind of how the team's gelling, how the goaltending is going, how the special teams are clicking. You know, if you got a crazy good power play penalty kill, like you saw with Tampa Bay the 2 years previous, like everything just kind of took off at the right time, you know, stay injury free. Like so many things have to go your right way to hold that Stanley Cup.
Battle back after like a brutal loss.
Yeah.
Where you get killed. It's like, okay, how do we come back and do this again?
Yeah.
Back and do better.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have anything that you did when you were in a personal slump to try to get back on track?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I sometimes would change my pregame meal. Nothing too crazy or absurd. I mean,
you never went out and got trashed.
Yeah.
Sometimes, playing guilty.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there was probably some of that going. I had to do that a couple times probably, That started, you know, when I first got in, like that was that era. I mean, the game's kind of changed over the last, you know, handful of years, but no, that was, if the team was slumping, if we were on a 5-game losing streak and we go up to Vancouver, okay, the whole team's going out and that's that type of deal. And, you know, we're going to have a rookie party or something.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, get her going.
Yeah. That's the occasion. Let's get the rookies out.
Let's go. Right. Yeah, you gotta have a justifiable reason, right?
Yeah.
No other reason.
Yeah.
No reason.
This is team development.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
This is team bonding. Yeah. Team morale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But no, nothing too crazy. I was so kind of even keeled with, you know, my ups and downs, and I tried to be like the positive guy in the locker room, the kind of the glue guy that, you know, whether we're on a 4-game losing streak or a 6-game winning streak, like I showed up the rink kind of the same way every time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any good chirps on the ice? Were you a chirp guy?
Yeah, I chirped a lot.
Yeah.
I chirped a lot. Nothing. I'm trying to think like what I can say here. I never like crossed any line. Like,
yeah,
I,
you weren't getting too personal.
No, yeah. No.
Nothing below
the
belt.
No, yeah. No, exactly. But I love getting after guys that weren't used to getting chirped.
Yeah.
Like, you know, me and Drew Doughty always kind of had a thing his whole life, he's probably been told like he's the best player on the team. And he was like, he's freaking Norris candidate almost every season. And a couple times where like he would, you know, hit me in the skate with a slap shot, I would skate up the ice and tell him to pick your effing head up, you know? Like, and then like, he would look over at me and like, he's never heard that before.
No.
Like no one's ever told Drew Doughty to pick his head up when he took a slap shot. Like, you know, all that probably happened all the way back in Pee Wee's. Like, no one ever chirped that guy. So, like, I loved giving it to him. And eventually he started giving it back. And another guy was like Patrick Kane. Like, no one ever gave it to that guy.
Because they're almost like scared or like, I'm not going to.
Yeah, no. I mean, those guys are at a whole new level.
Right.
They don't even belong in the NHL. They need a new league to support guys like that.
Yeah.
And I loved going after those kind of guys and, you know, trying to get them off their game. And the littlest way was what I tried to, I don't know, hang my hat on, I guess you could say. And I just remember like Patrick Kane, like we'd be standing at a circle and I would, you know, say, you know, call him a pussy or something like that.
Right.
And
he's
and
like, excuse me?
And he would like look over at me and like almost kind of give me a smirk, like as in like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
this guy's talking to me? Okay.
Yeah. Who are you and why are you talking to me type of deal? Like,
oh, man.
But yeah, he's never been chirped his whole life. Like, he's God's gift to hockey.
He's the best one on the rink.
But
doesn't mean he doesn't have a chirp free.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
He doesn't have a get out of chirp jail.
Yeah, right?
I want him to like think about it. Like, as he was on the power play, stick handling on the half wall, like, okay, like where's that idiot that chirped on the wall?
Right.
You know? You probably psychologically threw him off.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably like, I'm not offended. I'm just like, I'm just surprised that happened.
Yeah.
It's just like,
and perfect. That works out for me.
That's right.
But no,
exactly his plan.
I love doing that. Just it kept me engaged in the game. You know, I especially on the third set, like I was playing behind Ryan Suter and Brodes and Spurge and Doms, and like I knew my minutes were gonna be limited. So I knew in order for me to like stay engaged in those 10 or 12 minutes I was going to play, I needed to be kind of yapping. And it seemed like when I was yapping, the rest of my game kind of followed with that. And when I was almost like playing like a vanilla average game, it was like when I was kind of just had my mouth shut and just kind of stared off into the crowd and, you know, that type of deal.
I love how they always try to like mic up players in the NHL, but they're like, oh, we mic'd him up the entire game. And they use like 3 lines, he said, because all the rest of it would not be good for TV friendly. It would be horrible.
Yeah.
They have to be just Believe
yeah.
City.
Yeah. No, I mean, it almost looks like I was telling you, the game's changed so much where like it's there's not as much hate in the game as what it was like when I first got in. Like the third and fourth line guys, like there was guys that acted like there wasn't a puck on the ice and just wanted to.
Looking to fight.
You run around and
that
fight.
That was their job.
And take your head off. Like, you know, when we were going to Calgary and play Brandon Bolig and McGrattan and, you know, guys like that, like there was, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys on that team that just, you know, were bowling balls out there that just like, let's just go bang and create energy. And so like chirping was all involved in all that. Now it's like, the game's changed so much where all four lines have to produce and score. So everyone's a skill player now.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
But there's still, you just still see some of the fights once in a while. But I know that I wanted to bring up, I know one of your more viral moments was, I think, a fight against Mike Fisher in 2015.
Yeah.
Do you hear anything from Carrie Underwood on that or what?
Well, what's crazy is over the last couple summers, I've gone on a NHL conference called PAO, Professional Athletes Outreach. It's kind of a faith, you know, it is a faith-based organization, and he's a part of it. Mm-hmm. So like, I go down there and see him. And
then 5 years prior, you're like, getting after him.
Yeah. I can't remember what happened on the ice. I might have, you know, cheap shotted like Johansson or whatever, and then all of a sudden he came over and just almost like kind of surprise attacked me. I mean, I knew we were gonna go, but he was chucking before I even had
pretty
any,
rough.
So he landed, you know, 4, and it was basically over. So I'm like, oh, perfect. I ate a bunch from, you know, Mr. Underwood. But
right.
No, it's funny to like kind of, you know, laugh about it now. Mm-hmm. With, you know, seeing him, because he's an unbelievable guy.
Right. Well, we talked with, and we've always heard this,
and so many guys are like, even with chirping and like fighting, like. I would always chirp with, you know, Chris Thorburn was another guy in St. Louis, and he ended up being like kind of my best friend down there. It's like, he's like, dude, I always freaking hated you. Like you yap at me and, you know, you say this or that. And, you know, I thought you were going to be the biggest douche, and, you know, then you come over here and, you know, you're the nicest guy ever, you know, type stuff. And, but that's the kind of the culture of hockey, you know, whatever kind of happens on the ice and whatever's said on the ice stays on the ice. And, you know, you can shake hands and give hugs outside the locker room right after, you know, like I got suspended one game for headbutting Jamal Mayers, and it was, you know, stupid, whatever. I ended up seeing him right after the game, and I just immediately just went up and said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, you know, what happens on the ice stays there.
I mean, you guys play roles on the ice, and you know,
things get heated. It's a high intensity game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know too. You fought. Gosh, I can't remember his first name. Is it
David Backes?
David Backes. Yeah. 2010, and I remember the announcer said, "Nate Prosser, a Minnesota kid, is making it Minnesota tough. Do you think that's something we can get back to?
Yeah.
Minnesota tough? Or are we too passive aggressive?
We're too soft.
No, there was a lot of toughness with the Wild for a lot of years, even before me. I mean, like Matt Johnson and Boogie and
Clutterbuck.
Yeah.
Well, Clutter, he was there, I think, when you came in. I think it was like his last year, and then Boogaard.
Clutter. Boogaard was there with those last month I was there. What's crazy about that is the first person I see as I like walk into the showers the first time is absolute Boogaard. Giant Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Like literally it looked like I could fit inside of his back. Yeah. Turns around and it's Boogie. And I'm like, oh my gosh. All right. I got
welcome shower. To the NHL.
Yeah, I know.
This is pro sports.
I got a shower next to this monster.
Oh gosh. You know,
No, where were we going with that? I can't remember.
Fighting people.
Oh yeah, Minnesota Backes, being Backes. Tough.
Backes.
You know, he's a Minnesota guy and he was tough. But no, I think there's a lot of guys that, you know, Minnesota that have that nastiness and toughness and kind of grit and you know, that's all taught, you know, type stuff. Like I don't know, my dad always told me you gotta be able to flip a switch, you know, when you get on the ice, turn into a mean SOB, and then once you get off, flip it back off and turn into that, you know, humble and kind guy that
yeah.
you know, calls
yeah, you got to be a good civilian, but a criminal on the ice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You don't want to be going to the bar still in hockey mode. Just, exactly. You want to go, man?
Yeah.
Chirping somebody and...
Yeah, no. You're going to meet your match at a bar.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I feel like it, yeah. There's no rules. At least you have a ref on the ice to yeah. bring things up.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, you know, no sport is like hockey. You no. can't... Like, what other sport allows you to just, like, square off and...
You can't just fist no. fight in any other sport.
No, no. no. Either... get suspended or, mm-hmm. or you do it off the ice and you go to jail.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's one of the best parts of hockey.
Whenever there's a conversation on, you know, should hockey or fighting stay in hockey or not, I'm always for it. I think it definitely polices the game too. Mm.
It's part of the game.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and you can have such memorable moments. Like, it was right after Will Smith punched Chris Rock on the Oscars, I think there was a fight happening in Vegas, oh, yeah. and they started playing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song.
Oh, yeah.
so funny. You know, you get moments like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You won't get that in any other sport.
No.
Well, you talked about there were players that you kind of, well, they told you like later that they you kind of got under their skin, but was there any player, though, that like you kind of got irritated at, you know, on the ice?
Well, like Chris Ott, or Ott. Steve Ott.
I think it was Steve Ott.
Yeah, Steve Ott. So, yeah, he played for the Blues.
Yep.
And I don't know. He was kind of one of those pest guys. Another guy was kind of a smaller guy, but he asked me to fight 5 times a game. And
let's go, man.
Derek Dorsett mm. is his name.
And, yeah.
And I eventually fought him just because I think he eventually elbowed me to the chops or something. I'm like, all right, screw you. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But he was like, I remember holding him off and looking over at him, and he was like smiling and like telling the ref to get away. Like, he's just one of those guys that loved like getting punched in the face.
Like crazy.
Like super comfy fighter. I'm just like, how are you like this? Like, you're a different breed. But, you know, probably those two guys would, guys that just got under everybody's skin. Mm-hmm. And like, even like the fans, like in the playoffs, one season we played Steve Ott, and every time we touched the puck or came on the ice, everyone would start booing because mm-hmm. he was kind of like the criminal on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People knew.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, like playing with the Wild, were there any guys that were your favorite or, you know, some of the more memorable people you played with throughout the years in Minnesota?
Chirpers or just
characters.
Yeah. Characters.
General Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think back to like early days. I mean, I had such good relationships with, like, you know, Mikko Koivu even. Mm-hmm. Like, no. I loved when he played a little pissed off. Like, everyone's game, like, once you get pissed off and, you know, can flip that switch, it's like everyone's game elevates. Mm-hmm. And that was, he was another one that did that. But I liked, you know, being a part of, like, the Clutterbuck era where he just ran around and banged guys and created energy. And then, you know, the era of... you know, Danny Heatley.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, what a guy. Like, there's no one on earth or that's ever played in the NHL like Danny Heatley. He's one of one. And I had the pleasure of, you know, sitting across from him on the plane and just, you know, hearing stories and, you know, seeing his mannerisms and how he presented himself was just like a whole new level. Like, unbelievable guy.
We've heard the stories of his dinners at his house before games where rookies would have to go. And he would have a whole bottle of tequila for himself.
Yeah.
And he'd still somehow play the next day.
He'd be the first guy on the ice the next day.
Yeah.
It's a different breed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he liked his tequila. Like, even at our, like, rookie parties, at rookie parties, you go all out and you get the top notch stuff. So he was buying, like, the, you know, $50 shots of tequila, and I'm like, dude, I'm not a tequila guy. He's like, dude,
you don't have a choice.
You're taking this one. And it was like the smoothest thing ever.
Yeah, you know?
Like, don't even taste it.
Yeah, so. Tequila's not bad when it's actually like expensive.
Yeah,
spend money on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
the effects are still there.
Yeah,
but you can actually down it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's crazy is like I actually didn't feel like that hungover from it the next day, but you know, got you pretty wasted pretty quick. Though,
yeah.
You know.
That's how you know it's made with the quality ingredients.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't, not like Jose Cuervo, where it just poisons your liver.
Yeah, you wake up the next day and you're like,
feel like death.
Where am I?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, maybe that was the key to of Danny Heatley's excellent game, or 50 and 07. 50 and 07 bit, you know, where he was with San Jose or whatever. And
And Ottawa, wasn't it?
Was it Ottawa?
See, he did. He had 50 twice, I think.
Yeah, see, I think he did it once in... I think the last time he did it was 07.
Cam,
can you look this up? Can you look up when Danny Heatley got 50? Because I know the 50 in 07 was like a bit going around, like on
people had it, would bring it as like on their boards. The, yeah, you know, fans from everywhere. Yeah. 1507 type stuff.
I remember seeing it. Wild sure games, yeah.
He wasn't even the one who coined the phrase. It was like a fan of his that coined
it. He did it twice, both with Ottawa.
Ottawa. Yeah. Okay. But he played with San Jose for a while.
Spezza and Alfredson and Heater. Yeah. Like that was a line. Yeah. And it was all when they're all in their prime. It was
right.
Lights out.
Yeah.
Ottawa, you could actually say Ottawa had something going for them.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now they got Cam.
They got Cam Talbot.
Not producer Talbot. Cam Talbot.
Yeah.
So something I'm curious
about. Not producer Cam.
Yeah, not our producer Cam. That'd be funny,
Cam,
though.
Cam, did you sign in Ottawa?
I can't even skate.
Hey, you got to... Okay. Dude. You're weird. Like, you're weird. You're a goalie.
Like, well, you still have to skate to be a goalie.
Oh. Well, you don't, skate, no one needs to know that.
All goalies are weird.
Yeah.
How funny would it be, though, if, like, Billy G texts us? He's like, yeah, that producer that you have for your show, like, he's part of the deal. He needs a pack of shit. He's going to Ottawa.
Be like, deal.
He's going to work in the media department.
Yeah.
Turns out they don't have guys up there like that in Canada.
The e-bug. Yeah. You'll just be the e-bug.
Yeah.
But so what I was going to ask you is, with all the new kind of sponsorship stuff, I know a lot of people aren't the happiest that the Wild are putting a logo now on their jerseys.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had the logo on the helmets last year. What are your thoughts on kind of commercializing sports?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. Honestly, I'm not like a traditionalist as far as like, oh, the jerseys need to, you know, stay sacred type deal. I think, you know, as a player, like a curse word was escrow, and we all got escrowed our paychecks. You know, we had to, you know, make the bottom end teams whole. You know, they wanted to make as much as the top end owners and everything. So we always had to put money into the league as, you know, for this escrow. Well, hopefully, you know, we can, you know, kind of even that out maybe a little bit through this. And I think that's the goal of it, is to, you know, get more money, you know, to even that, that out.
Right.
So, I don't know. You know, a lot of people might say, oh, you know, you're a millionaire, you know, complaining about, you know, not, you know, getting taxed or getting escrowed, but like there's something to, you know, when you shake someone's hand and said, you know, you signed for $1 million and you end up making, you know, 400 of it or something because, you know, taxes and escrow. Well, let's work on other areas where we can, you know, build that back up, you know.
Right. Deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. People always overestimate like the amount of taxes. Like I think the guy who won the Mega Million Powerball, it was like $2.8 billion and he got like $600K.
Yeah.
Like, congrats to the IRS for winning the Mega Million.
Yeah. Just taking all of it back.
It's like same for pro athletes. Like you guys are getting taxed more than anybody. Like, yeah, you signed $1 million contract. Well, it's not like they just threw $1 million
in
cash.
You get a straight
bill.
Here
you go. Here you go.
Yeah.
No.
Not like there's any incentives or all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, so yeah, it makes sense for me. It's a business decision. I just don't want to see it like the European leagues where it's just like they all don't even have a jersey.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think they'll get to that, I hope.
I don't think they'll do that.
I definitely see it, you know, on that side as well. You don't want it on like your breezers and, you know, on every inch of your jersey. But, you know, there's ways to make it still look clean. And I think the Wild, like you saw their jerseys, I think it's just like a Tria patch. Yeah. You hardly even know.
Yeah,
it's
it blends
there,
in. At least they picked a company with the same color scheme.
Yeah.
Imagine if they picked like something purple or
yeah.
Or they picked like, or I don't know, like you pick like Best Buy or something. Yeah. It's just yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow and blue. It's like, okay, blue. That sticks out.
Target.
Yeah.
Just red. Well, actually that would do well with the Wild.
But it's not too bad. But another question I had for you. So do you still like skate? You still do men's league and stuff like that?
No, I've been done for probably just over a year now, and I'm totally loving, you know, having my skates off. You know, I've gotten asked a lot to, you know, play in this or that. You know, I have skated a little bit, you know, men's league, you know, once or twice, but nothing like on the regular. And then, like I said, before the show is, you know, I've never been able to coach my kids, and they're all begging for me to be on the ice with them. So I've been able to coach their hockey and soccer. And so I coached the 8U YZ girls team, and, you know, just being out there is enough for me. Like I'm, you know, played hockey 35 years of my life. I'm, you know, I've had enough, but you know, maybe someday, you know, maybe, you know, next year or something, or 5 years down the road, maybe it's something that, you know, I'll gravitate back towards, like, you know, but right now I like having the boots off.
Well, we're looking for more players to join our Minnesotan Cup team. They have that. I don't know.
Where do you play and what is it?
It's sponsored by the Minnesotan, which is a store in White Bear Lake.
Okay.
The tournament's in Scandia?
It's in Scandia, Minnesota, and they've done it for the last 3 or 4 years now. I think they didn't do it a couple years ago due to COVID, but it's like it's essentially a charity hockey tournament. A lot of teams, they form a lot of teams with it. It's pretty big, and Ryan Carter had a team in it. And we were kind of loosely negotiating with Ryan Carter to join our team next year because we played in it last year and just got our asses just destroyed.
Well, really? And as the coach and GM of the 10K team, I broke 21 clipboards in the two games we did last year.
Really? That so, bad, huh?
Yeah, that was the big stat line. But we did land a big deal over the fall. We have Connor Dupree, the e-bug Dupree. For the Wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dupree. He'll replace me. I played goalie on the team.
He's going to play. And Carter said, if Connor plays on the team, Ryan will play.
Oh, no way.
So
getting Carts on the team would be important. Like he goes all out.
Yeah, no.
We did this Henriksen Foundation deal, and he was blocking shots and going high up the glass and, you know, getting the empty netter. Like he has a drive in him that's like none other.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember, I actually announced one of the lineups for that.
Oh, did you?
That was one of the it was me and Audra. We take team to the PA.
Yeah.
I don't know if I announced your, which team were you on? Were you on the white team or the other one?
White.
Okay. So I did announce your name.
Okay.
All right.
I think I was white.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you announce his name with flair?
I mean, dude, I had never done PA before, and there was,
it's
you know,
hard.
It was fantastic. We literally walked up behind like the boards, and Audra's like, "All right, you're doing this." He's like,
and "I was like, what?
Yeah."
She's like, "You have any PA experience?" I'm like, "Nope." She's like, "Good. There's a lot of people there," and just hands me the piece of paper. I'm like, "All right, here we go."
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Luckily, there were not too many hard names. Luckily, your name doesn't require like an aggressive amount of abbreviation.
Yeah.
Or anything,
no, there's just no lines over my
name. Yeah, right.
Nate like Prosser. That. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Prosser or anything.
Yeah,
like
these
that.
French guys or guys from Montreal. Yeah. What is this name?
This is nothing.
What about Erickson Eck? It's UL.
Yeah, it's Jewel.
It's Jewel.
It's
Jewel
or you. And
Joel.
And to us,
we
like,
laughed at him in locker room. We're like, dude, name's Joel.
Would you call him Joel? Yeah. And you'd be like,
this is your name now. You're in America.
You're Joel. I mean, that's what I thought it was. But then I'm like, oh, he's from Sweden. I guarantee, or wherever he's from, like across seas. And I'm like, oh, I guarantee it's not pronounced Joel. And sure enough, it's Jewel or Ewell Erickson Eck.
Yeah, I know. So, I know.
Yeah, that's funny with some of those NHL names, man. You got to be careful. That guy on ESPN kept calling Kaapo Kähkönen. He kept calling him Kähkönen.
Yeah.
Little things like that some people might not notice, but we're like, guy, you know, it's Kähkönen.
Yeah.
You're ESPN. Yeah. Did someone not tell you this?
Yeah. Seriously.
You're the worldwide leader in sports.
Yeah.
You know your joke on the internet.
You probably never had any issues with anyone mispronouncing your name.
Prozer.
Prozer.
Yeah.
Nate
Prozer.
Nate Prozer.
Yeah.
I guess I could see that.
Yeah.
That's like Besser. I've heard someone say Bozer.
But someone's trying too hard at that point. They're trying to get ahead of your name being pronounced something else. But
this guy's a hockey guy. I'm gonna beat this.
Prozer.
It's Prozer.
He's from another
Prosser. Damn it.
He's from another country.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's from here.
Yeah, no, I'm born and raised in Minnesota.
Yeah. Like, I'm a Prosser guy.
Yeah.
Well, I hope this isn't like a sore subject at all, but you know, looking back at some early pictures, you did have some decent hockey hair in the beginning.
Yeah, no, you can chirp me all you want.
No, but I was going to say, did you ever have interest? Because for most of your career, since I've watched you on the Wild, you're like bald and didn't really have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
You rock that style, which is still a good style. Looks good on you.
Yeah,
but,
thank you.
Why didn't you ever grow it back? Did you ever try to grow some hair back?
You know, when I first got into the NHL, no kids, you know, it started kind of going back. I was probably 24, 25. Yeah. And I don't know, I saw my brother, he's 3 years older than me, and his was starting to
receding,
lose. So I'm like, it's, and my dad's receding. So it's like, it's just in the genes, the Prozer genes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The Prozer gene pool.
Prosser. But I never... I think it just kept going back and back, you know, as and I have four daughters. So like everyone just kind of pushed it back for
yeah, them. Right. And I was going to say,
yeah, I was going to say you could just blame it on stress. Be like, yeah.
It's not genes.
Yeah, like, just be like, you don't know what it's like to be stressed out and be a pro athlete until you've seen hair like this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
These are my battle
scars. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So no, I was doomed from birth. Yeah, right. I was going to start buzzing.
Just rock the look, though. But no, it I think it kind of sticks out, too, because you have these guys with crazy, crazy hair. They just let it flow and everything. Yeah. And
I miss my hair. Yeah. Like, I used to have, you know, Elk River, like, I remember looking back on all my pictures, like, I had the hockey hair down to my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I definitely miss that for sure.
But no, it's unique to kind of just rock the, you know.
See, but you say that now. You know how fast the game changes and how fast trends change. Who knows? Maybe in 20 years, everyone will start shaving their heads.
Yeah,
because
Ryan Carter said I could rock the skullet. You know, just to, you know, buzz the top and let the kind of get a little back
rat tail.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Also, at least you played a sport with a helmet, so that part helps.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No, well, no, you just grow it down here and you leave the helmet on all the time.
Then people think I have good form.
Yeah, you're not out there playing. You're not out there playing tennis.
Yeah,
but then again, it's hockey. I think it would be like you see some, like I said, you see some crazy. I mean, I think more so in the minors or juniors, you see people go nuts. Or actually, the state high school hockey tournament.
Yeah, kids crazy. Shaving half their heads.
You have guys rocking that where they probably don't have bad genes. They shave their head completely bald, but leave a little bit on the back.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's crazy.
That state tournament is kind of funky. Yeah. Like, I love that.
It's just getting crazier every year.
It does. It literally
does.
I'm
so excited to see where we're at in 10 years. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe kids will start dyeing their hair. Maybe that's the next
step. They did do that like 20 years ago. I mean, that during Oshie.
Right?
Yeah,
Oshie. Do the blonde. And I think we did that at Elk River.
Yeah.
I think Maple Grove did it this year.
That was,
That
was more of like, I think, a 2000s trend, but then it's going to come back here
along with NSYNC.
Yeah, NSYNC, Justin Timberlake,
Boys.
Yeah. One Direction's gonna reunite.
Yeah,
no. Be one of these days.
Blink 182.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. Jake, did you have any other questions?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, so we got one more thing to do with you, Nate. This has been such a blast. So, signature segment is the rapid fire. We're just gonna ask you 10 questions really fast and just answer them right away. So, okay, you're on a deserted island all by yourself. You get one type of beverage for the last. For your remaining time on the island, what is it?
First thing that pops in my head was a Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's just my, I don't know, my favorite drink.
Yeah.
I try not to have it too much, but you know, when I do reach for a pop, like I love like cracking a cold Dr. Pepper.
I think Ovi would agree with you. He drinks it on the bench.
Does he? For real? Does.
That's a thing.
Oh, crazy.
Right?
I've seen a lot of guys drink Coke, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, right. Dr. Pepper.
The first time I heard that, I was like, what?
Really? Well, Chara, you see him like with a 20-ounce Coke in his hand.
God.
And, it's unreal.
And it's like,
I don't know if they do that in any other sport.
No. Yeah.
Going back to how unique hockey is and how just a different breed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that give you like a side ache?
Yeah,
all the sugar.
I don't know.
There's something behind it that they like.
Yeah,
the jolt, momentary jolt with sugar and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The sugar rush when maybe you feel like you're down a little bit. You need a little pick me up.
Get some water, Dr. Pepper. Yeah. There you go.
Well, this will be an interesting answer considering you have four daughters, right? How many fourth graders could you fend off in self defense?
Ooh, 100.
100.
Oh, wow. There you go.
You're taking on an entire battalion of fourth graders.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
I'm just thinking like, you know, boyfriends of my daughters.
Yeah.
And like I have to like,
that's good. You should get prepared for the whole fending off.
Yeah.
Minneapolis or St. Paul, which one's better?
St. Paul.
All right. I like it. Name a first world problem currently bugging you at the moment.
There's so many directions you can go with this. I mean, my biggest pet peeve is a bad driver. So, I mean, that's a first world problem when you're driving down the highway and, you know, someone's an idiot.
Yeah. Cuts you off driving too slow.
Yeah. We get plenty of that here. So that's a very acceptable answer. Yeah. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
Agreed. If you were, well, you've probably done something like this to other places, but if you were given an all expenses paid trip to Cleveland, would you take it?
Yes. A little trip away from the kids and you know, take the wife. Yeah, yeah. I think I'd do it.
For sure. If your laptop could speak, what would it say? this could be.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
I'm laughing because it caught me off guard. We've never. I don't know this question before.
That's what we do here. Rapid fire.
Cam, what would yours say? Yeah. It seemed like you had something. Yeah. Oh yeah. To say there.
Which site would it say, Cam?
What was your answer, Nate?
What are you pleading the fifth?
Move on.
Mine would say. Well, just getting into the podcast world, I mean, I'm doing a lot of digging on, you know, like HockeyDB, mm-hmm. you know, type sites and HockeyFights.com and CapFriendly.com.
Just, stats,
you
know, guy.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's kind of stats stuff. I love all sports. So, like, even when I scroll and I check baseball score, like, I don't know. I'm a sport nut, I guess. Yeah. So,
ESPN.
Yeah. That kind
that,
of stuff.
And then the websites where you can watch sports games illegally.
Yeah,
and NHL 66. That's
your lap. Yeah. If you're looking up too much hockey fight videos, and then if you are streaming, then illegal streams allegedly. Your laptop might be telling you to go turn yourself into the police.
Yeah. Because in the 21st century, stealing TV is more of a crime than anything.
Exactly.
What is your least favorite fast food place?
Wendy's.
Wendy's?
Yeah.
All right.
Damn.
Not a fan.
I mean, it's kind of crazy because a lot of people, they say Wendy's their number one, but.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the Baconator.
No.
Or the fries.
I haven't had the Baconator.
The fries
in years.
Are decent, but I mean, if I really want fries, I love Culver's fries.
Yeah. Culver's steaks.
Or McDonald's fries. I mean,
exactly.
But absolutely.
I mean, McDonald's great, BK great.
Oh, you're a BK guy.
Yeah.
That's one of the more common answers.
And White Castle, too, is a...
Yeah. I mean, my favorite fast food's probably Chick-fil-A and Culver's. And then...
Cane's?
Yeah, I like Cane's. Yeah. I've had Cane's. Yeah. When I was at CC, there was a Taco Bell pretty dang close. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was the hot spot. I enjoy... Taco Bell, Arby's. I like Arby's.
Arby's is good.
Trying to think. I think Wendy's. Is,
Wendy's.
Yeah,
that's a fair answer.
Yeah.
If a movie was made about your life, who would play you?
I mean, my early years when I first got into the NHL, I still had a little bit of hair. Mm-hmm. There a lot of guys called me Stifler.
Oh, yeah.
John William Scott.
Yeah, he's from Minnesota, too. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, they, you know, even in, like, you, I don't know, you can still do it, but, like, you could Google and, like, they'd have my face next to his face. And, like, you know,
I can kind of see it, though, a little bit.
I can see that now that you point that out.
Yeah. And especially in the movie Goon, I think they kind of shaved, isn't his head kind of shaved?
Yeah,
I think so.
I forgot if he drew his hair out in that, but, like, I can get those vibes, especially from the movie Goon.
But, like, it's not like my, like, you know, watching.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
That's crazy, actually.
I know. Like,
wow.
Oh, someone else did the comparison for us.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to post that anymore. Page. And like, personalities aren't really like, I wouldn't say I'm like an American pie.
Right.
Like, you know, you know, but I don't know. Just
looks are there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Final one. Give us your strike three call.
Do I need to like make the noise?
Go for it. Get into it.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Went with the version where you can't understand what they're saying, but you know it's a strike three call.
You get it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Exactly. I know what he's saying.
That's by far the best thing we've added into the rapid fire because everyone's answer is so different.
Yeah. Because, dude, I don't know how many times we've gone to like, you know, a Twins game and literally cannot, I don't not know what
just,
the opposite. Huh! Yeah.
He said strike. I don't think he did.
I think is that did he call a ball
or is that an out? I don't know what that was.
Or when
was.
They just do shit with their hands where they're like, well, it's like, what was that? Like, is that something else?
In softball, when we play softball, it's half the umps. I don't know. Was that a ball or a strike? Because I don't know what you said. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. That was that. Like,
no, that was perfect.
I'm glad you got the hands into it, too. Yeah. That's an important thing.
Yeah.
Hand motion.
Yeah. Cam, what's yours?
Yeah. We did it at the Saints game. And I was like,
yep.
It's like, see, get out of here, or some shit like that.
You gotta get crazy.
Yeah, you just yell something, and the guy and the batter's like, okay, so I think I'm out. So I'm gonna walk back to the dugout unless
that's
I'm
told. So you know, there's no way. Yeah, right. Seriously,
that's the best. Well, Nate, this has been such a blast, and your podcast, it's the Prosser Box, right?
Prosbox.
Yeah, and that's available on everything.
Yeah, Apple, Spotify, wherever you can find.
I saw you had Spurgeon on too, right?
Yep, Spurgeon's on. So you know, I said like a lot of retired guys, but I'm doing some guys that are still like Sealer was another one.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So yeah, just guys that you know I've been connected with, and you know over the 11 years that I played. So So it's been a lot of fun and enjoying it. And so Prosbox.
Yeah. Definitely check it out, because I think that's something that doesn't get talked about in sports enough is probably how difficult that can be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just more real life type stuff, you know, because it's, it's hard to, you know, go from the pinnacle of life and your dreams
the
to, okay, okay.
Oh,
now,
it's over.
Yeah. Now what, you know?
Exactly.
So, it's just kind of real and natural, organic kind of conversations that, you know, me and my brother are just trying to get going.
Yeah. No, awesome. We think it's an awesome thing. And yeah, folks, make sure to go check that out. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to It's a Bit. Great interview with Nate, Plymouth guy. Just like us, Plymouth guys, even though our house got, was very close to a house that was raided.
Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot to mention that on like Bit of the Week, but if you didn't see my tweet on Tuesday morning, our roommate Donnie works early mornings, and at 4 a.m. he sent us a picture of probably 7 or 8 cop cars outside of our house, like just right down the block. So there was some sort of police raid. I don't know. There may or may not have been gunshots. Not quite sure what happened, but luckily it wasn't our house. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what they'd find here. They'd just find a bunch of sports memorabilia. They wouldn't find any drugs.
I'm surprised they didn't like mistake our house for a quote unquote. If it was a drug raid, I'm surprised they didn't like mistake our house for being the drug house, because we always have people coming and going through here. So
yeah, there's new cars here every day.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been fun, though. That would have been interesting to get raided.
Would have been good content.
Yeah, it would have been.
Just get...
Yo, what's up? SWAT, I'm getting raided right now. SWAT, put that down!
SWAT kicks down your door in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
We're recording an episode.
We're recording It's a Bit.
Hey, we're being raided right now. Fucking awesome.
Police kick in the window.
That would be excellent content.
That actually would be hilarious.
I'd shit myself.
Get arrested.
I remember, like, back when we were getting flagged for copyright all the time by Twitter and Celine Dion, I remember I fired off a tweet. It was like a video of myself like hitting like the send button on my computer, and then it cuts to like SWAT kicking down every door and window. like cops falling through the ceiling, like guys with assault rifles and grenades. That's basically what it was like. But all right, let's get to our final segment. We have what some might say is going to be another controversial draft. I know every time we do a draft or a rankings, a few people get very passionate about our choices. And today we'll be ranking what we think are the greatest Minnesota sports athletes of all time. Sorry, drafting. Drafting is very different from rankings. Rankings, anyone can take anything at any time, whereas with a draft, it's a little different because, you know, we can't both pick the same answer. Yeah. All three of us can't pick the same person, so we have to be a little strategic. But Jake,
they're off the board.
Jake, I'll hand it over to you if you want to MC the draft.
All right.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. With the first overall pick in the best Minnesota athletes draft, producer Cam selects.
Fuck. The first pick is the worst because I don't.
Because either way, someone's going to say you're wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Adrian Peterson. It's hard for me to go with someone super old because I didn't get to witness it, but the way that he just took over the game when he first came in, like I remember being 7, 8 years old, I'm just like, holy shit. Like, it's pretty much guaranteed he's going to get a long touchdown run every game. He was a fucking beast. Now, granted, it didn't end the way we wanted to, but that would be my 1-1 for sure.
And now he's boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not his kids this time.
An athlete. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's fact. I mean, shit. He got into some hot water with that. All right. So, Adrian Peterson has been taken 1 overall. He's off the board. All right. Ding, 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 ding. With the 2nd overall pick in the best Minnesota athletes draft, Bossman selects.
Kirby Puckett, 10 All-Star appearances, 6 Gold Gloves, 6 Silver Sluggers, elected in the Hall of Fame in 2001, and the famous quote, "We'll see you tomorrow night." A era I wish I was older for. I wish I could experience what it was like in those days when we were winning World Series and or just winning playoff games in general. I haven't really gotten to experience much of that in my life either. But based on what I know, now I know there's probably older people who are going to listen to this who are going to really hate all of our picks, but you got to remember we're all under the age of 20, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23,
22.
22, yeah. So we're protected under the rights of being young, stupid millennials. So
yeah.
But I think a lot of people would agree with that pick. We were both of our picks.
We were on the same wavelength. He was who I was debating. It was either Kirby Puckett or Peterson for me.
All right. Jake.
Ding, 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 ding. With the third overall pick in the best Minnesota Athletes draft, I myself, JJ, select Brad Radke. And I'll tell you why. Without Brad Radke, who else would have been a 6- or 7-time champion in backyard baseball 2003, year after year after year after year? He was a start. He was my starting pitcher. If he was never in the league, I would have never had that satisfaction. And he actually had some excellent years here in Minnesota, so he's my number one overall pick.
That is elite Fuck sports it. Analysis.
You know, I think I had a Radke jersey as a kid. I had a Twins pinstripes jersey. Remember those jerseys?
I have one.
Those went hard. I had a Radke pinstripes jersey.
I have an AJ Pierzynski one.
Oh, this was hard. It was either between Brad Radke or Joe Mays.
You gave up your second pick.
No. He's not going to be my second pick.
Oh,
you can take him.
You
I don't
gave
care.
Up your strategy.
All right. No, well, I'm good. All right. So, okay, moving on to the second round. Ding, 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 ding. With the fourth overall pick in the best Minnesota Athletes draft, producer Cam selects.
It's back to me. It's not a snake draft.
No. This isn't fantasy football.
Throws me off. I'm going to go with Kevin Garnett. He was the first superstar that the Timberwolves ever had. He literally brought the Timberwolves to the West.
Timberwolves?
The Timberwolves to the Western Conference Finals. Nobody has even come close to that. And he was fucking hilarious, too. Like on the court, and he killed people.
He appeared in the movie Uncut Gems.
True. That probably put his career over
as an absolute degenerate.
Actor. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the day that Kevin Garnett got traded away. I definitely cried.
I mean, I think when anyone thinks of like Wolves history, they think of KG.
Yeah.
And here's a stat for you because I had KG on my list as well. When the Wolves drafted him in '95, he was apparently the first NBA player in 20 years drafted straight out of high school, which is unreal.
Wait, what?
Was he drafted? He was probably drafted before LeBron and all those guys, right?
Wait, he was the first.
In 20 years.
Was he drafted before? This shows my ignorance. He was.
I mean, me too. This was from Wikipedia, so one of us is wrong.
What year was Kobe drafted?
Kobe?
Let's find out. I think he must have been after.
Oh, he was like, wasn't he 96?
Yeah.
And then Kobe was 96. I think they're the same year.
So Kobe was drafted 96, so a year later. Okay. And LeBron was drafted probably after that, right?
LeBron was, yeah.
No, he was 04.
Yeah,
he was 2003. So yeah, KG was the first. He kind of led the charge on that, at least the first time in 20 years. Isn't that nuts? Can you imagine being in high school and being so good at something that you get like a pro contract?
That's insane to me.
I don't know because I went to college and just threw my money at a state.
Yeah.
So
and wasn't even an athlete.
Can't relate. And I sucked at sports.
Yeah.
So
that's fucking
intramurals
nuts.
Though.
Yeah.
A whole different ballgame. All right. Ding, 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 ding. With the fifth overall pick in the best Minnesota Athletes draft, Bossman selects.
Okay, so even though I'm not a Vikings guy, Chris Carter. That's a hard one to not put on your list. 1K receptions, 12.3K total receiving yards, 110 career TDs. I know Moss was cool and probably holds some better records, but if you want to just talk specifically for the Vikings, what Chris Carter did was actually completely like underrated.
Yeah.
He's not a big enough name nationwide compared. And I know like Jerry Rice was on a new level and some of these other guys, but Chris Carter, man, guy did numbers.
If there were like kids, definitely, if there would be so many kids that won't know who Chris Carter
I know.
Is if he wasn't on like ESPN
right.
and like shit like
and
that.
And he's still
like,
he's now, still really but, popular around here, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, kids nationwide do not know what Chris Carter did in the NFL because it was fucking unreal.
But I feel like that's going to be controversial. There's going to be a lot of people, no, Randy Moss was blah, 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 blah,
but,
blah, blah.
But the crazy thing is, if you like I said, I'm not a big Vikings guy, but if you do the research on Moss's career year, it was in New England with Tom Brady when he set that single season record.
Right, exactly. I think he definitely a peak of his career might have been in New England, but when he set a rookie season record, but then didn't JJ break it?
No.
Oh. He was close.
No.
I mean, he came in and was like a stud. Well, the thing is, though, but in 90, he came in 98, his rookie year, and that was when they, Gary Anderson missed that kick.
Right.
And they had Randall Cunningham, and he just went off. He looked like he wasn't even a rookie.
Moss is on my list. I'm not discrediting Moss at all.
Yeah.
Randall Moss.
Carter was just nuts, though.
Yeah,
he was. At least the stats.
Chris Carter. All right. Ding, 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 ding. With the 6th overall pick in the best Minnesota athletes draft, I, JJ, myself, select. Ooh, this is a tough one, man. Oh, no. It's between a couple of solid
you
started athletes
with
here.
Brad Racky. I'm so excited to see what comes next.
Oh, man, I wish I could do more rounds, but, man, this is tough. I'm going to go with Manny Fernandez. Minnesota Wild goaltender from 2000 to like 2006. Him and Dwayne Rolison were amazing, but his name was stellar, and he was part of the run with the Wild in 03 when they made it to the Western Conference Finals. He was a stud. He was awesome, and he had always had an amazing helmet design. But Manny Fernandez is my second pick.
All right. If you were looking for serious analysis, you'll never get it at 10K Takes.
Especially from Jake.
No, but this is a 100% serious list. Like, people need to take this serious, right?
Oh, okay. You're laughing as you're saying.
No, I'm not. Brad Racky's really. Number one. Manny Fernandez.
You have your stupid shit green.
Hey, this is Manny Fernandez was a solid goalie, okay?
You can't even say it with a straight face.
No, he can't.
Manny Fernandez.
He's literally laughing right
now.
Are
you saying Manny Fernandez wasn't a good netminder?
No, we're not saying that. We're saying that you are not taking the list seriously because you're fucking laughing right now.
I'm not laughing because you guys are laughing at me, so I'm smiling because you don't think I'm serious.
Okay. All right. I respect the pick.
All right. Okay, we're moving on.
Western Conference Finals is cool. I haven't gotten to see one of those yet.
Yeah, I mean, barely.
I'm in.
All right. Ding, 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 do, 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 ding, ding. With the 7th overall pick in the best Minnesota athletes draft, producer Cam selects.
I'm going to take Randy Moss. Yeah. I feel like I got the steal of the draft in the 3rd round. But for me, I pick Moss over Carter just because even though his best year wasn't here, he still was amazing here. And he's arguably the best receiver to ever play. Him and Jerry Rice are usually who people argue with. But to have that person play for us and for me not to draft him would be a mistake.
The other downside to my argument, I didn't make an argument. I never said Carter was better, but Carter also played way more games than Moss.
Yeah.
If you look at that, I think he played like an additional 70 games or something.
Well, I think he played longer in Minnesota too.
Right.
I think he had a longer career. So in terms of the longevity of being a Minnesota athlete, I get that. But Randall Moss was a fucking stud.
Yeah, he was the best. He was the first, because I said, I'm only 22, so he was like the first superstar that I watched and who I fell in love with. He was the bee's knees.
You fell in love with Randy Moss.
I did.
Well, if you meet him, you need to tell him your true feelings for him.
And he's going to say, that's a little sussy.
Will you say that to Manny Fernandez?
I might. I mean, growing up, though, legitimately, when I got into the Vikings, it was Dante Culpepper and fucking Randy Moss.
Yeah, dude, we have the graphic in the stadium in the studio.
And then
when he mooned Green Bay, that was a legendary play.
I think that was the year Brad Johnson came in at quarterback. I think that was the last year Randy Moss was here.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like, fuck this, I'm going to Brady.
Yeah,
and he did that press conference. Remember outrageous that one press conference he did in New England?
Yeah, well, he did go to Oakland first, and then he realized how much of a fucking shithole it was. He's like, oh my god, I should have stayed in Minnesota.
Looking back on it, though, he could have been in Vegas now. If that whole thing would have happened earlier, he could have stayed if it was Vegas. Mm-hmm. Never know.
You never know.
New regime.
Randy Moss. He would have thrived under John Gruden.
Shit. I'm up next, aren't I? You guys are going to love this pick.
All right.
This one's going to be a little out of left field.
Ding, 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 ding. With the 7th, right? Eighth overall pick in the best Minnesota athletes draft, Bossman selects.
David Ortiz, Big Poppy.
Technically.
Just because he didn't play with Minnesota his entire career doesn't mean he's one of the best players to ever step foot here.
True.
He's HOF.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, as PA says.
Well, by that logic, wouldn't Randy Moss then be better than Chris Carter?
I don't know.
Right. But still,
who uses logic in this house?
No,
not you, Jake.
What? What?
Brad Racky.
Brad Racky, Manny Fernandez. Who's hated? I mean,
there's fucking like 15 players on the Twins and the Wild that are better than those guys.
More than that, probably. They were good athletes.
Once again, we're pulling the millennial card. You can't. I wasn't alive when you were alive.
Yeah, right.
Guess what I grew up with? Fucking Fortnite.
Yeah, and then no
was bad at sports.
And then no Minnesota championships. So
just kidding. Yeah,
let's calm down.
Yeah, we are not Score North. We are not 55 years old.
Yeah. We're not going to give you the deep in-depth analysis of why our lists are the best, but mine is the best.
I don't have sports history knowledge.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, moving on to the last pick here.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh,
I don't know who it's going to be yet.
Can't
I got
wait.
A few. I got a few. Okay. Ding 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 ding. With the ninth and final pick in the best Minnesota athletes draft.
Here comes a Gopher player.
I myself, JJ, select
Lawrence Maroney.
He's not picking him.
Tanner Morgan.
I mean, it should be. This is tough, okay? It's between two former Gopher quarterbacks.
I hope it's the one that I'm thinking of, because I will applaud you.
Marquise Gray.
Yeah.
I've got to go with Marquise Gray. You know who else is between? Adam Weber. Hey,
hell yeah.
Adam Weber was a solid quarterback with Eric Decker.
Adam Weber, Eric Decker, Drew Wolitarski. Oh, yeah. My God.
But Marquise Gray, dual threat guy, was one of the highest recruits in Minnesota Gopher history. He was under a shitty coach in Tim Brewster and then came in Jerry Kill. Could catch the ball, could throw the ball, and run with the ball.
I love that guy.
I did think about putting Decker on my list, too.
Yeah. Derek Decker legitimately
killed it in the NFL.
Yeah, he did.
He killed it, but in terms of his career, because we're not limiting this list technically to call it just pros. Like his play in Eric Decker's play at the U was insane. It was legitimately like one of the best things I ever seen out of college athlete.
Yeah.
And I do love the Marquise Gray pick, though.
Yes.
He's also like a fucking great dude. I've had him as a customer a couple times at work.
Yeah.
He's just like the coolest dude to talk
to. Well, we need to sign him up for the USFL.
Yeah, we should. True. Honestly, he played as a tight end in the NFL for a little bit, but
oh, yeah.
I got hurt and kind of fucked up.
Yeah. I was absolutely obsessed with Marquise Gray, though, when I was when I knew he first came into the, well, he was a freshman. I think he was a true freshman the first year at TCF Bank Stadium. So I was like getting really into the roster and everything. Yeah. And I saw he was like a 4 or 5 star recruit. I'm like, he's going to be a dual threat. He's going to be good. And granted, I don't think he was as good as people thought he could be here, but he still came out and kicked ass. And I like bought a 5 jersey. Of course, there wasn't NIL stuff back then, so his name wasn't on it. But I got a number 5. I still have it. Gopher football jersey.
I used to murder people with Marquise Gray in NCAA football.
Yeah.
Like 13 or 12, whichever one he was like.
Like they technically had his likeness in there. Yeah.
He was the best.
He was unreal. Like, but he, I just remember back in, I think it was like 2010. It was the second year at TCF. We were sitting in this lower level, and there's all these like old people in front of me. And Adam Weber, he was a senior at the time, and you know it wasn't really even Adam Weber's fault. Our team just sucked. We had Mr. Chili Hot as our head coach, you know, Tim Brewster, and
Tim blocked on Twitter Brewster.
Tim, Mr. Blocker Brewster, and Adam Weber wasn't having a good game, and all of a sudden this guy, this old guy, turns around and he's just like, "They should put that Marquise in." I'm like, "Yeah, but that's not how you pronounce his name." It's Marquise.
Marquise.
Yeah, Mark. They should put that Marquise in. Like, he just dragged it out. Yeah. I'm like, okay, this
Marquise
is strange.
Marquise sounds like a cocktail you order in Mexico.
I know, Marquise. Yeah, Marquise. Yeah, something like that. It was weird. But I love that guy, watching him play. He was awesome dude.
Speaking of Gopher quarterbacks, Jake, I need you, if Kirk has one bad, well, I don't know if you'll do it, but someone has to do it, where if Kirk has one bad game, start the hashtag tank for Tanner Bennett again.
Yeah, no, we did that. I think we did that because I think not this last year, but the year before when Phil Rivers was on the Colts and you were on Colts Twitter and they're like, people are already saying tank for Trevor.
Yeah.
And they were probably serious.
Because this was the Trevor Lawrence draft year.
Yeah, it was Trevor Lawrence draft year, and Phil Rivers, they lost to the Jaguars, but it wasn't even like Phil Rivers' fault, but Colts fans were legitimately going off about how they should tank for Trevor. But then the Vikings had a bad game. I mean, they had a horrible start
that
year.
They started saying it too.
And people were like, and then I'm like, tank for Tanner. And then we just posted a picture of Tanner Morgan. And some people took it as a joke, thankfully. But there were legitimately people that took it seriously. Are you fucking kidding me? And there were actually people like, yeah, probably better than Kirk, honestly. Blah, 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 blah. Like, this is not a serious post, okay? I'm not degrading Tanner's, like, you know,
he was like a sophomore in college.
He was a sophomore at the time, you know, and like
it was like probably right after the year where we beat Auburn in the whatever.
Yeah,
bowl.
Yeah.
It was like our best 2019 season was like the best. Yeah, exactly. In the last few years.
So he technically could have declared Rashad
Bateman.
Yeah, exactly.
Tyler Johnson.
I'll never forget. There was a Vikings preseason game that I legitimately paid money to go to, and who played quarterback for the Vikings that day? Mitch fucking Leidner. Do you remember when we had him?
Gross.
I was like, what the fuck?
Do you remember when people were saying that he was going to be like a top draft pick? People were like, no, he's going to be a top draft pick as a tight end. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. No. But I remember it because McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Oh, McLeod Bethel Thompson.
And was lighting it up. And then Leidner came out. And I'm like, fucking A. This is brutal. I can't believe he ever got a shot.
Jake Browning last year. Still better than Sean Mannion. I would take Nate Stanley. They got rid of Nate Stanley. Why are we keeping everyone except for why are we getting rid of everyone except for Sean Mannion? I would just keep.
He's got to have someone held hostage on the Vikings front office because Zimmer kept him.
Well, Zimmer liked him a lot. Like Zimmer, like I guess was just like fucking, you know, I don't know, having a relationship with him or something.
He never said a single bad thing about Mannion despite his performance against the Packers. Yeah. Was that against the Packers?
Maybe.
That was Kirk's COVID game, right?
Yep.
Yet, like, he just tore into Kellen Mond, who didn't even really play a snap.
It scares me because it's like, if even KOC kept Mannion, how fucking bad is Kellen Mond? Damn it.
Maybe Mannion's one of those like behind the scenes guys though. Maybe he pumps up the offense. Maybe he's a valuable asset outside of his football abilities.
Well, I guess he's like a good coach, like minded guy, but like I'm thinking maybe Big Cock kept him because, you know, they don't have the money to go out and get a decent or sign another backup quarterback. So he's like, I'm gonna work at what I have.
He kind of inherited him.
Yeah.
Trying to think of a funny example of like where you inherit something and it's just like, ugh.
Well, you get married to, you know, beautiful woman, but you inherit her in-laws.
Shithead stepson.
Yeah, or the stepson or inherit her in-laws and that side of the family. It just comes with the package, unfortunately.
Yep. All right, well, that's it for this episode of It's a Bit, folks. Electric one as always, especially this draft, definitely some curveballs, and we'll definitely take some shit for it. It's all good. Make sure to follow us everywhere, 10K Takes on all socials, 10ktakesmn.com to read our blogs. And once again, sign up for the golf tournament and the Cup Snake. Those are both coming up. The Cup Snake is next Saturday, as well as the after party after it. And then the golf tournament's the 22nd. So get your tickets now for both of those things. And we hope to hang out with you. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next time.